This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
That was big as the game went on, the result of the game. Again, there are a lot of things we can work on, but between the five sacks and the tackling that we made, I thought we were very strong in the tackling area. We were very strong in the knockback area, where at the line of scrimmage, Chris Jones always a force, but you also saw he's a force in the run game as much as he was in the pass game. So he did a nice job there. And I mean, I can go on and on with that. It was good to get a mixture of our young guys in the secondary going. I think we'll be okay there. I think it's just a matter of more play time between 2 and 30, and just working through those things. Those are good players. They're young, and we got to keep growing there. So experience will help that. Offensively, again, I felt there were some really good things there. I guess a good defense. I don't want to slight their defense at all, because they're ranked pretty high in the NFL. So, but I thought our guys did some nice things there, especially with the pass game part of it, with the protection. Anytime you can keep 98 out of the backfield and off the quarterback, that's a positive thing. Pat did a couple nice things when there was a little bit of pressure, rolling out and hitting receivers. He had a nice day in general with his pass percentages and numbers and all that. So he had a couple touchdowns thrown in there, over 250 yards throwing. So those are all positives. I thought Kareem ran hard. That's a stout front that's really good against a run, but he ran hard and had positive yards as opposed to negative yards. We can do even better there as we go. But some of the important categories were the third downs. We're very productive on third downs. We were very productive in the red zone. Those, that leads to drive longer drives. It leads to points and ends up being a big production number. So for both those spots, special teams. It was great to have Bucker drill a couple field goals there. That was great, and his extra points were good too. So. He had a nice day, as did our punter. So that was positive. Anyways, with that, time's yours.
Well, first to Matt Derrick. Matt.
Hey, Coach. Mentioning Kareem, he was one of your captains yesterday, and only being fourth game back, what was that kind of as a meaning and a message that you feel like that sends, and how well has he just really fit in and gained the respect of this group?
Yeah, he was in that class with Patrick, and it's almost like he kind of never left. I mean, that's how I think the guys that have been here see that. And then the guys that haven't been here have always heard about Kareem and the guys talking about him. So I think that's, he has that veteran leadership ability, runs tough. And so he's been welcomed back as if he hadn't left. And, that's why we felt comfortable doing that.
He's been averaging north of 20 touches a game since he got here. And some of his average yards per carry has gone down each game. Broken tackles has gone down. Is that a workload that you're comfortable with going forward and sustainable for him?
Yeah, well, listen, he didn't have training camp. So I look at it like it's the third day of training camp. He'll start picking it up as we go here now. So he's had good work, and I think he'll be even more productive going forward.
We'll go next to Pete Sweeney. Pete?
Coach, I was wondering, how impressive is it to you that Hopkins was able to learn enough to be on the field for the 23 snaps? And within those snaps, as you watched them back, what were some of the takeaways that you saw from the initial look?
Yeah, Pete, I thought he looked good out there and did a nice job. He did a nice job in the run game, did a nice job in the pass game, had the big third down catch and right off the bench and did well with that. So, he's a good football player, and being able to fit in more will even be better, I think, as we go forward here. So he was chomping at the bit on the sideline, wanting to play, and at the same time knowing that he didn't have all of it down. So there was a patience there, but he was into the game, and I think you'll be able to see more of this next game.
We'll go next to Nick Jacobs. Nick?
And Kelsey, I'll have a follow-up, please. Andy, the long drive drills you guys do in training camp, how do you feel like they've helped this team be able to sustain and continue to have some of these long drives and be effective and punch those in?
Yeah, Nick. I know the guys, they talk about them, and it's a good foundation builder, I think, that you can kind of bank on. You've gone into that dark area within yourself on those long drive drills. And so when you're in a game now and you're going, you know, you can go there and you know, you can function at a high level. And so I think it builds a confidence in the guys once you get into the season.
And where you guys were at bye week as an offense, where do you feel like you guys have improved? Because from a red zone perspective, it seems like it's really kind of gone up a level.
Yeah, Matt put a lot of emphasis on the red zone in the bye week, and he and David Girardi work on that extensively. So it has improved. We've done a nice job down in there, and we've just got to keep it going. As we go, we saw some things we can do even better the next time around. So, it has been improved. But it's because of Matt really pounding down on that area.
Looks like we have one more for you. We'll close it out with Sarin Petro. Sarin?
And I'll have a follow-up if I could, please. Coach, you got five sacks, five different guys, all of them up front. I know Steve is, you know, really known for his blitzes and really knows when to dial up, bring in some guys. But how nice was it to see really the front seven be the ones to get the pressure and not really maybe need those defensive backs to come as much?
Yeah, so that helps. It helps the secondary. Any pressure that you can put on the quarterback. We're going to add another guy in here with Uche. Veach has made a trade for with the Patriots. So that will be a nice addition too going forward. But we understand that you take care of business up front. It helps everybody. And, Chris Jones not only did in the pass game, but he did in the run game. And people always say, wow, how is he in the run? Well, you know, he's making tackles behind the line of scrimmage here. So, that's a positive thing.
And then just overall, the left tackle spot, I know it's been a work in progress, just what you thought and where it stands going forward.
Yeah, listen, we had we had too many penalties there. So we got to work on that, cut that back. And we're young and growing. So we got to just keep bearing down there.
They got better on defense. They just did. They added a reinforcement when they hope they get another one as well. And maybe it allows them to be more patient with Mike Dana if need be, or maybe they're worried that, hey, Dana's back, but we can't give him the same type of snap count that he was getting before. He's going to wear down, whatever it may be. They just got some more depth, and it's a nice piece that wouldn't surprise me. Best case scenario, he does what Aminihu did in the second half of last season. A guy that wasn't on, he was on the team, but didn't play much in the first half and then was a problem for teams in the second half of the season. That's best case scenario, because this is a rental. He doesn't have another year left on his contract. Uche is here to help them in the postseason.
He's here to help them win a Super Bowl. Yep. And I would rather, in most cases, spend draft pick compensation strengthening a defensive line than I would a secondary. Because defensive line play is important, and they've been without a Minshew the entire season. Mike Dana is hurt. They don't have any other star pass rusher besides Chris Jones. I'll say George Karloftis continues to play some really good football.
Yep.
So it didn't seem like a move they had to make. And look, for the most part, his first and his second year, he was a part-time player, got four sacks, didn't matter. Burst onto the scene a couple of years ago with 11 and a half sacks, and has never been that player again. I think this is more... I do not think this is about Charles Minshew. That was the first one. Like, oh my God, does it mean he's not coming back soon? I do not think this means anything about Felix and UDK Uzama. You know, I would normally make this about the, boy, sure don't love a guy if you keep bringing in people to compete against him. I think this is Mike Dana insurance. Dana's been dinged up a huge chunk of this year, and they need one more reliable outside pass rusher to roll into, as you mentioned, the rotation. You're giving up a 2026 sixth. I think he's playing 50% of the snaps. I think he's a 25, 30% snap guy unless he absolutely burst onto the scene. Because the other thing is they're going to have to figure out is he's technically a 3-4 outside linebacker pass rusher coming into a 4-3 defense. So either the Chiefs are planning on using him more in that Leo Chanel role that they used him in this last game where it's like he's a hybrid defensive lineman slash linebacker, or they think he can line up straight up on the edge. But that's not what he's done at any point in his career. He's been a stand-up pass rusher.
Yeah, and going back to your faith that you have in corner, I mean, I would say, look, they're obviously not trading for him if they don't believe they can get him to fit into what they want to do and excel here the rest of the season with Steve Spagnuolo's defense. You know, Mike Dana, he has been on the bye week, on the injury report since the bye week, excuse me, with that pec issue. So whether it's more serious, whether it's taking longer, whether they just want to be more precautious, going forward or precautionary going forward, that's something that I think fits into this as well. I would agree with you there. If you're just wanting some numbers just to go with this, in 2022, Uche had an 18.5% pressure rate. That was the highest for any player in an entire season. Now, that was 2 years ago. The other part is this is a deal. Not only does it require a sixth-round pick in 2 years, he was making $2.9 million this year, and it's already almost November. So you're getting him for nothing.
$1.5 million. And that's if, and we haven't seen, that's if the Patriots aren't eating a single dime of this, which we know.
Based on the compensation, I would be fairly surprised if they are, right? I mean, it's a sixth-round pick in 2026.
The other part about this is the same thing we're looking for out of DeAndre Hopkins. The last 2 years, Josh Uche has not been good. He's also been on one of the worst teams in the entire National Football League, and it's become pretty clear that Mayo and him had some sort of issue with each other from a, I don't know if it was an effort standpoint, a coaching standpoint, a scheme. He was a healthy scratch. He's in the final year of his deal. He's a second-round pick 4 years ago, and he had 11 and a half sacks for this team 2 years ago, and he benched him as a healthy scratch, even though he's got a couple sacks for a bad team.
Yeah, yesterday against the Jets, their win, he was not part of that.
Correct. So what's the, like, fresh start, new team. We talk about this all the time. Some people just need a fresh start to be with a new team, figure it out. It's worked in Kansas City's favor. Other team players have left here and had more success. Sometimes it's just a fit.
Yeah, and this it's a little different because they're in the middle of a three-peat, but typically this is also just another. Add this to the list, Cody, of Brett Veach. You know, you want to call it a Brett Veach special. You want to, whatever you want to. A guy that was drafted fairly high in the draft a couple years ago. There's a half year left or a year left on the contract. We can get him for basically nothing. All right, we kind of liked them. We're going to find out. Let me guess. They liked them in 2020 as well. I'm sure they did. You know,
breaking news. Brett Veach had him as a second-round grade back in 2020.
Something like that. But I do think they add to what is already a huge strength for this football team with Uche. Nobody's expecting him to come in and have 7.5 sacks, but he helps this team.
Sam McDowell also pointing out that based on like the projected contract he'd be get right now, there's a decent chance he'd come back as a seventh-round comp, so it's really kind of a pick
if he doesn't sign in the offseason, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's this is a – the kind of moves I like for the Chiefs right now is zero risk. But this comes with, like, I would say for a zero-risk move, more upside than most zero-risk moves, right? Like, an 11.5 sack player was in there 2 years ago, not 5 years ago, not 7-2, not – look, I wouldn't bank on it. For me, if he's a 5-sack, like over the course of an entire season, 5 to 6-sack player, so he gets 3 or 4 for you, done. Winning move. Somehow he's going to end up making some game-winning tackle in a divisional round game against the Bills, and we're all just going to be like, ha, 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 here we go again. The Chiefs just found some guy on the street. I think Drew had pointed out on the Ian Rappaport thing, the first like four comments are, why do you keep helping the Chiefs? Why are you doing this to us? Other fan bases just being mad at the Patriots.
Stop helping the Chiefs. I will say,
other teams are allowed to trade.
If they do, say they win the Super Bowl and Uche were to sack whoever, theoretically, the Patriots helped the Chiefs win a Super Bowl. So that
Titans, I guess, helped the Chiefs win a Super Bowl. If DeAndre,
I think the last dynasty helping the Patriots
being the team that ends up giving somebody that, I think that would be like chef's kiss.
Gotcha.
Are they done now? I guess they still, I guess, have a couple $1 million if they're looking for a corner off the street. Are they done? That's it. I think the wide receiver, the thing we mentioned
makes
earlier,
it way less likely they get a receiver, coupled with how Hopkins looked, how the offense has been better in the red zone, based off of you gave up a pick. The only thing is the pick they gave up was in 2026. They still have 2 seventh-round picks. If you're telling me that's what it took to get somebody else. Although now that Christian Kirk's off the board, not that I thought he was coming to Kansas City. It means like if you thought they're getting a D-Rob or a Deontay Johnson or anything like that, still, if that was still your dream, that to me is less likely because Christian Kirk's not available. So those teams that were looking at Kirk are now down to like Slayton, Johnson, and Robinson, you would think. Tutu Atwell types.
How much of it depends on their confidence that Hollywood Brown comes back? Like if they think he's going to be healthy when the playoffs start, do they need to actually go and make a move, knowing Justin Watson is your fifth guy and you know Juju's there, Xavier Worthy, DeAndre Hopkins, Hollywood Brown. I mean, you've got the crew. You don't have to spend it, I guess.
I think presuming Juju Smith-Schuster's injury is not a long-term injury, and the fact that they did not place him on IR to add DeAndre Hopkins suggests that a wide receiver, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, Juju Smith-Schuster, Xavier Worthy, and Justin Watson, that's good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that'll play.
That's good enough to win a Super Bowl, even without Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, that will absolutely play. We just mentioned potential trades. Adam Schefter a few minutes ago acknowledging what we already kind of assume, but that the Panthers, Deontay Johnson is expected to be traded by next week. Well, I mean, obviously.
I mean, I'd sell anything that wasn't bolted down in that time.
Yeah.
I mean, the one name, miserable team. Not that they would do this or give them T. Higgins, but the Bengals might be a team to watch in regards to the trade market potentially making things interesting because of, I mean, if they lose, do they just sell and get rid of T. Higgins or Trey Hendrickson, you know, whatever the case may be?
Yeah, it doesn't really. I guess overall, I don't fear it.
Unless the team in the AFC were to take advantage of it, I guess, theoretically, but
we'll see. There could be other moves still. I mean, if I were the other teams, I'd be looking at how much the Chiefs keep making little moves and thinking I need to do the same.
All right, let's talk more about what Patrick Mahomes did yesterday and also his new target, DeAndre Hopkins. That's coming up next right here on 96.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
X5 the fan. Back here on Cody and Gold on a Victory Monday. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get back into the trade today. Went down the last 35 minutes or so. Chiefs have a new pass rusher. Help out some depth with Mike Dana and eventually Charles Omenihu, etc. The rest of the defensive line. Josh Uche we learned someone retweeted a video from the beginning of the season in New England where he wants to go by Joshua Uche, even though all the reports are saying Josh
Alexander Uche. Gold.
Yeah.
My name's the same.
But Joshua Uche, the newest member of the Kansas City Chiefs, she's trading a 6th-round pick in 2026.
Well, that's right. We had to ask you. Because the initial thought, I'm sure, is everyone asks you is if you go by Drew, is your name Andrew?
It is not. It's just Drew.
That's always, that's why, remember when it just Drew, when, or no, that wasn't. Was that your handle for a while?
It was not my handle. It was like the,
oh, that's what it said in the bio.
It said just Drew. Yes.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
I was like, it said it somewhere. I'm not making it up.
There are times when I get called Andrew. Like, no, nobody asked. They just call me Andrew. It's like, yeah.
We know, that the Chiefs get to 7-0 with the win yesterday. The other stat that was amazing out of that game is the dominance in that building in particular. Andy Reid now is tied with Josh McDaniel, your favorite guy, as the winningest terrible coach in Allegiant Stadium history.
He's not the coach of the Raiders.
Yeah.
They've had that stadium for years. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's a beautiful stadium. Andy Reid owns it.
Chiefs, well, he's going to get it, like a lead on it, right? Until like the next guy comes around?
Yep.
He's going to rack up a few wins.
Let's be honest. Antonio Pierce probably fired after this year. Maybe he gets one more year.
Why would they give him one more year? Other than the fact that they can't afford to fire him?
That would be it. They're paying, thinking of Josh McDaniel. We looked this up a week or two ago. What was the number? Is it $20,000 a day or something? Or something maybe it's like way higher than that. It's like $200,000 a week or something like that is what they're paying him. I can't remember the exact math on it, but Josh McDaniel's still getting a hefty check from one Mark Davis, and he doesn't have to work.
Their record in the division, their record at Allegiant, their record in the division under Andy Reid is like 35-13 under Patrick, or 45-13 or whatever it is. Their record with Patrick Mahomes is even better. He only has 5 losses in the division and 0 at Allegiant. You know, he's undefeated at Allegiant Stadium. He's never even lost in that building, including a Super Bowl. That's, of course, the first photos all of us looked to post. I'm like, and look for the photos I took at Allegiant of Super Bowl
was,
confetti.
Admittedly, that was what was a little weird yesterday, because the only other time I've been there was when it was neutral site and all the Raider stuff was covered up. So it felt weird. Like there was an actual Raiders home game. Not really, because Chiefs fans completely took over the building. I mean, it was every bit of 70-30 there. It really was. And, you know, you could tell, because the moment the game started, Patrick Mahomes was on. And it was an impressive first drive right down the field. And the first Travis Kelce reception, I think, was when you could tell, like, the true home field advantage the Chiefs would have, other than the visual. Like, the place absolutely went nuts on the, what was it, 25-yard reception or something like that to Travis Kelce. And that was a sign of Patrick Mahomes. He was on yesterday. I know he had the interception backed up, and then the defense bailed him out. But Patrick Mahomes, 2 weeks in a row now, has made game-winning plays with his legs as well. And that's when he's at his best. We know in the postseason he does that, and that's what he's done the last 2 weeks. And against the 49ers, it was a touchdown, and then the one up the sideline. This one, it wasn't a touchdown run, but you know how many plays were extended, drives were extended, third downs were converted because Patrick Mahomes' legs? And fortunately, the ankle got rolled up on it. It ended up not being that serious. At first, I was a little worried we were about to have our ankle conversation
of the season,
thing.
Three times. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Maybe the third time in 6 years we'd have brought it back up. No, I wouldn't worry about that. Mahomes was great. One of the best games of the season. The best game of the season for him. And that's, I mean, look, the home game stuff, that's the Raiders' reality. That's part of the reason that this rivalry, 10 years from now, this rivalry won't mean anything. The only reason it meant anything this year is because some stupid player talked like Mahomes with a puppet, and they actually got Kansas City once on Christmas Day. Had they lost the Christmas Day game last year and just do the puppet? A little juice? Maybe like a little juice?
Yeah, they don't play any home games there. The Raiders don't. Now, I will. That still, though, was more than just, oh, the Chargers are in town and the Chargers fans are taking over Allegiant. This was a whole nother level, man. Like, it was insane. And we'll ask Nate this tomorrow. He's been to way more road Chiefs games than you or I have. I've only been to a handful. You and I have been to neutral site games for the Chiefs, but like that it was just incredible. The difference that I think you see anywhere else, even when visiting teams are at Allegiant. But Patrick Mahomes in the offense in particular, we saw when he has his best days, it really isn't that hard to figure out. It's either with his legs, but also number 87 got involved. It was vintage 1587 connection. That's obviously when they're at their best. Like, it's not rocket science. The Chiefs offense looks its best when Travis Kelce is Travis Kelce. Oh, and when DeAndre Hopkins now is converting key third downs. Yeah, it all looks great.
Like, when you look at what he did in that game, the thing I think is really underrated about the Chiefs offense, they are, in a lot of ways, incredibly efficient. And you say, but how? They don't look like an elite offense. First off, I want you to do yourselves a favor and watch a lot of other offenses in this league and realize how much worse you could have had it this season watching offense outside of Kansas City. For as many flaws as we feel like they've had, they are the ninth best scoring offense in the league. There are 22 other teams or 23 other teams worse at scoring than Kansas City this year. So just put that in perspective to start. But the other part is Patrick Mahomes is efficient. He got that down last year. The whole get 5 yards to get 4 yards to get 2 yards to move the sticks to get 4 yards to get 5 yards to get 2 yards to move the sticks. They do that great. They had a 19 play drive in that game, a 12 play drive in that game. The only problem with their offense is the same thing that was last year. If you have to possess that long, you are asking your team to go a really long stretch without a single negative play. No holding calls that bury you, no turnovers that bury you, no drop passes that bury you. If you aren't making any mistakes, Chiefs will score every time, at least three. They're going to score every time if they're not making a mistake. Their whole thing is a war of attrition. Don't screw up in 14 plays versus they used to be able to just score in 5. If the deep ball ever comes into focus here, if Xavier Worthy ever becomes a regular deep threat catching the ball 30, 40, 50 yards down the field on a semi-consistent basis, well, then they're a really dangerous offense. They just never seem to unlock that yet.
No, but right now we've discussed their style of play as a team, and the long drives absolutely complement what this defense is. And it's not to say that I trust me, we all love a 65-yard touchdown pass. I would gladly see that again. But their style right now on offense, long, sustained drives, fortunately the last 2 weeks they've also been better in the red zone. That coupled with an elite defense, it's a great formula. That's why they're 7-0. Like, it does complement. They do complement each other. And hey, when your quarterback makes a mistake like he did yesterday, backed up inside his own 10-yard line, own 5-yard line, this defense is good enough. I mean, that was enough how amazing that was. And they've had some big stands this year, but that was so important in the moment. It was a big momentum shift. Could have gone the other way in favor of the Raiders. This offense is, going to be still at times frustrating to watch, but I feel like the last 2 weeks there's been some serious progress with where they're at. I think they've really all started to get a good vibe of where they have to be in terms of to sustain these drives, whether it's hopefully cutting back on some of the Wanya Morris penalties. He obviously had an issue with that yesterday. Andy Reid acknowledged that, said, hey, we're young. We're really young at left tackle, Wanya Kingsley. And now I think the exciting part is DeAndre Hopkins, though. And he only was on the field for 28 snaps, which was more than people probably thought initially. And I don't know if that's why Travis immediately had a better day. I know eventually
just
in the season,
sure.
I know as he gets more and more snaps, DeAndre Hopkins is going to make life easier for Travis Kelce. There is no doubt in my mind. And maybe we already got a little glimpse of that. I don't know. But the two catches that DeAndre Hopkins had were impactful catches. The one right before half to set up the Butker field goal. One was a third down conversion. The first catch, 3rd and 7, first snap of the game.
It was going to be a 3-and-out if he doesn't make that catch.
It was big momentum. That catch in particular, he just makes it look. We've all watched him, but just smooth and easy. Yeah, smooth's the right word, Cody. It was just so easy for him to go out there and make a catch right on the sideline. Haven't seen that very often from a wide receiver in a Chiefs uniform recently.
Over the last year and a half, there are so many times that, I would just say, they don't look like professional wide receivers. Wide receivers, sure, but it all just looks like not quite as easy, working too hard for it. DeAndre Hopkins, they just look like just going for a stroll in the park, the way Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes often look. Rashee Rice definitely started to look like that. That was absolutely what he was turning into. So we saw it the second half of last season, just not from anyone outside of Rashee Rice. Everyone else looks like they're working for it. I was really happy with DeAndre Hopkins because what it taught me was that the wide receiver unit is good enough to win a Super Bowl now. Because Juju will be back in a couple of weeks, maybe. Not the latest, I think. A couple of weeks. Otherwise, they'd have put him on IR. So DeAndre Hopkins, Juju Smith-Schuster, Xavier Worthy, and then Justin Watson is your fourth or whatever is your fourth. That's good enough. Especially with Travis Kelce looking like the Travis Kelce of old, over the last 3 out of the last 4 games. If that's going to be the case, then you're set. DeAndre Hopkins looks a little bit different than some of the receiver play.
Yeah, not to be insulting.
Especially since Rashee Rice got hurt.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, they thought they were going to have a healthy Rashee Rice and a healthy Hollywood Brown. You know, we're having a different conversation. But with the current room, yeah, he just looks different. He looks like a legitimate starting wide receiver on a contending team. That's what DeAndre Hopkins looks like.
That's all.
That's what he is.
Somebody had pointed out the stat that they mentioned on the broadcast and has now continued. Patrick Mahomes is undefeated in a dome. Is this a better reason when the Chiefs go build their new stadium dome?
Needs to be retractable, man.
He's only 4-1 in retractable.
I need the retractable.
He's 12-0 inside. He's only 4-1 in retractable roof situations.
Domes, though, aren't a thing like that. I
got a retractable.
But I'll say this. Allegiant is a dome. It does not feel like a dome.
It's not retractable.
Like, it's not retractable, but you've been in there now twice. Doesn't feel like a dome, right?
No, I mean,
there's just way too much light pouring in or whatever it is.
I joked with Nate Taylor, who was sitting next to me, because since there were such a large amount of Chiefs fans, I'm like, all right, can you picture this for just a second? See all this red, like, you know, we're not far off here. All the black would just turn into red instead of all the ribbon boarding, and you wouldn't have the flame, all that. But just like that is potentially what a retractable, you know, roof stadium could look like. If you know, to me, if you're going to do that, it needs to be retractable because you still want that element in Kansas City. But I told you, for not to get too off on the topic of stadiums, but I still think the Vikings, the natural light that they have coming in, you're like, oh, that's a silly thing to care about. No, watch a Vikings game during the day. It doesn't look like it's indoors at all. It doesn't, because the light is insane. And they also have the luxury, their view in Minnesota, you can see downtown from the open area. Like, okay, you can't replicate that probably. But
do what you can.
Yeah, and I've never been to that stadium, but from afar, it looks like an awesome stadium. Allegiant, I mean, of course it's nice. It's got every amenity you could possibly imagine, you know? And I know we don't need to get back into the stadium stuff too deep. And before I get text about Arrowhead being great, we all acknowledge Arrowhead is great. There's also an acknowledgement. If you walk into Allegiant, for those of you that, you know, a lot of you made the trip and walk into Arrowhead. Yeah, nobody's saying the history and all that's anywhere near each other. But, you know, just walking in the concourse, it's a different vibe.
Do you agree with this sentiment from the 816? Having D-Hop feels like it's like the equivalent of having two Travises. I would just say, like,
I mean, veteran, smart football player, knows he's going to be in the right spot. I'll buy into that part of it for sure.
He's going to be in the right spot and he's going to make the catch. If you put because that was the point that stood out about Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy had a chance to make a contested catch on the sideline. A ball in his hands, not knocked out by the defender, in his hands on the sideline. That's a catch DeAndre Hopkins makes. And it doesn't mean Xavier Worthy won't make it eventually, but he isn't making it now, and DeAndre Hopkins will. This is the exact type of wide receiver they needed. I'll be really fascinated to see how they rework around Juju and DeAndre, who feel like they're doing the same thing fundamentally, right? So how do you work that on either side of the football to go with Xavier Worthy? Or does that open up Xavier Worthy? Or does that open up Travis Kelce? This is the kind of offense where I do think they will continue to get better and better throughout the season. The defense, I don't need to be any better. If it's just this good the rest of the way, I'm square. League's best defense, second best defense, third, whatever you want to rank them. They are right there at the top of the best with anyone.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Over on the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, you can hit us up YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. Please like, subscribe, follow us over on YouTube, TheFan965. You can watch along on the show. Were you going to ask something?
No.
Oh, it felt like you were...
No.
It looked like you were getting ready to ask me something before I got to the random question.
No.
Okay. For those who missed it earlier, I know some people were thinking maybe the random question would be about our time in Vegas or certain things that may or may not have taken place in Vegas. Not this time. You actually mentioned something that happened on your airline.
Yeah.
On your way back, in which somebody tried to play, like, I don't know.
Yeah, real quick. Basically, so landed this morning, 3:45. So that was why also was even more ridiculous. This gentleman found a Bic lighter on the ground. The lady that was sitting next to me...
Man, this was right next to you.
Yeah, it was hers, I guess. He goes to her right as we land. We're still sitting down in our seats. He goes to her, oh, is this yours? And she goes, yeah, it's mine. And she goes, oh, and she like reaches to grab it. And he like pulls it back towards him, whatever. And then she goes, it's mine. Can I have it? And he goes, no, you can't have this on a plane. You this isn't allowed. You can't have it on a plane. He like holds it. And then he walks up and hands it basically to the stewardess or whatever. And of course, then she goes and grabs it. or, you know, asked to grab it back, get it back from the stewardess. Can I have that? And they said, yeah, you can have it. No problem. And so, of course, the lady that was sitting next to me was all upset or whatever, even as we were walking off the plane. So this guy, I think, was also wrong because you can't have Bic lighters on an airplane. It's 3:45 in the morning, dude.
Let it go.
We landed.
We're safe.
Yeah, wait, we landed. Why you brought up to her that you found the lighter? You were asking for confrontation.
Yes. It's nuts. It's crazy that he did this. So I have a question about a different thing in a flight.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not. On my flight, no such incidents occurred. Okay. But both the pilot and the stewardess did several songs.
What?
And I guess the question I have for you is, goodness, do you like when they do the stuff on the plane where they're trying to make it? So she was like, here it's Southwest. Yes, we are. You fly to the sky. This kind of stuff, right? Pilot did it too. And the stewardess. It makes me, I'm just going to say, I want to know if you like that in your flight. If you like this, people clapped at the end. It makes me feel less safe. I don't think you're taking your job serious. You start just doing songs on an airplane.
You can't be the guy that's critical of the singing.
Me?
You can't,
I do sports radio.
You can't be the guy critical of the singing, though, man. It can't be you.
It
just can't be you. It just can't be you. Out of everybody, I just don't know if you could be the spokesman for that effort.
For no singing on planes.
Yeah.
Dude, there was also a person listening to a podcast on like full volume.
Put some headphones on, please.
Honest to God, it should be illegal. You should be allowed to be arrested by an air marshal if you listen to something without headphones on an airplane. It's crazy.
I mean, they make the announcement and they're supposed to be on top of that.
That is crazy. I think the them singing part is not, if they do it once, fine, yay, everybody claps. Let's just not do that again.
Timing of the flight.
Need to do it again.
Three.
Drew, don't
three
you think...
Three songs on one flight.
No,
three.
Too many.
Don't you think the timing of the flight and the destination matter? If you're on a red eye, you cannot be singing.
Oh,
okay. If you're heading to Cleveland, Ohio, I don't need you
if
singing.
Going to Disney, yes,
if we're going to Disney, we're going to Hawaii, we're going to Vegas,
oh,
you know, you can be a little more amped up. I can handle that.
You say it's flight dependent.
And
moves
time.
You
and time. At 6 a.m., I don't need you singing.
It was like an 11 p.m. arrival time in Kansas City when the time we got the final song. That's too late, right?
Yeah, I think you
Kansas City, 11 p.m., I don't need a song.
I think you do it one time, it's fun, it's cool, everybody's like, oh yeah, that was kind of cool, but you don't need to do it again, and it sounds like they overdid it.
Somebody says, this guy makes us listen to his jingles, pot calling kettle black.
Yeah.
Here's the difference, though. You have an escape. You could just not listen on the radio.
They're trying to have fun at their job, Cody.
I'm stuck on that plane.
They're trying to have fun at their job
as
well.
That's a good point, yeah. I'm trying to break up the monotony of it. Have you ever had it? Like, I feel like I've had probably five flights where the stewardess
maybe two or three.
Like sometimes it's just like a limerick, I would say, more than a song, or like, you know, they're trying to get your attention that way. I think the time I flew before this, when people were sitting in the emergency exit row, they're like, hey, anybody drop any money? And everyone looks up and they're like, all right, now I got you. Here's what you're like.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, at least that, I get it. She's trying to keep us all safe. You know, you're going for the bag. Cool. This was just like a song about how much she likes Southwest. You fly.
Yeah, there's been some, you know, they all have their own thing. They're like, you know, some of them try to have more fun with the safety stuff, you know, not just the exit row thing, Cody, but they'll try to make the joke about, like, you know, if we decide to go swimming, you know, there's a life preserver underneath. Like, I've heard that one before, like, so cheesy stuff, but whatever works.
If you wanted to get people's attention for that, I feel like you have to be more cutthroat. Like, you have to be more, like, dead serious.
Like, yell fire, fire! No, well.
I think they're trying to they're trying to also have fun and get through their day by changing it up and mixing it up.
Someone said I've had the same radio host say every 10 to 2. Calm down, theater boy.
I don't think you can be the spokesman.
Damn,
you can't be the spokesman of don't sing on an airplane at all. Was that hiccups from you over there?
I have the hiccups real bad right now.
We're
the ones who are coming back from Vegas.
Yeah. I can't wait for the nap here in about an hour and a half. Oh, can't wait.
You can take a good snooze?
Absolutely.
What are you thinking, 2 hours? How long are you thinking?
I don't know. Set the I don't want to have more than an hour or whatever.
We gotta stop taking that red eye back from Vegas. That's twice.
So it happens every when I book it. I'm like, oh, I can do this. Once I checked in and then I was sitting waiting at the gate at 11:15 Vegas time.
What have I done to myself?
I'm like, I said I would never do this again. Especially since that airline also the kiosk went down, so everybody was standing. Yeah, that was a mess for a while too. So
somebody said Amtrak conductors are similar. I would expect a song or maybe more from an Amtrak.
You know,
conductor
actually, in a weird way, I kind of support it more in a train situation. Like there'd be
what?
More.
I think it
feels
makes
more
sense.
Like old timey.
It makes more sense on a train than on an airplane.
I don't know why. It just feels feels more right in that scenario.
Someone wanted to know why you and I both didn't deal with the cigarette lighter story. It's because Cody went back.
Different flights.
Yeah, it was his wife. He's got kids to get back to, so I was able to stay.
We got there on Wednesday. It was my third trip to Vegas. I didn't stay for the game this time. Last time I stayed for the game, they won the Super Bowl. That was good enough for me on this trip. You stayed through the game and flew back Sunday night.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd have probably been on that same red eye as you.
Yep. But we're back now. We made it. Yeah. We're all here.
I made it, no problem. I got back at... Flight came in like 25 minutes early. Actually.
Some of our listeners were on the flight last night or this morning, however you want to phrase it as well. So thanks again to everybody that came out to Vegas. We had a great time out at Circa. Seriously, it was awesome to see some of you at our happy hour event. Congrats to Mark and some of our listeners. Mark won tickets to the game at the happy hour. That's awesome.
I will say I was wearing the Creed is Good shirt through the airport.
Okay.
And the security guard lost it. I mean, like the TSA person, I'm going through this. She's like the band? And then she's just laughing. She's like, what? What is going on? Like, she's just so confused still. And then my wife was coming right through there, and it was just like, this. It was just so, oh, man, she was
dying. Did they say anything more than that, or was it just
I said, no,
the band?
Not the band. I was like, I can't explain this. Sure.
Did you say I can?
It works both ways.
Did you say I sung a song and did you try to start singing to the TSA agent? All right. Up next, let's talk more about Travis Kelce, what he specifically did. And there was some amazing audio from the weekend. We bring you the Monday Audio Fun Bag next.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app